been. This has been one of those weeks that actually felt like a month to many of us. 1 week ago today, we were here and we were holding palm branches. And I know I told this story last week, but before the first service, I was scattering palm branches out in front of the church so that any member of the church or friend of the church or any community member that would be missing their palm branches would have an opportunity. And through social media, we've seen a lot of pictures of the palms that you took home and the creations that you made out of them to have a sacred place in your house. But the story I told last week was, as I was placing them out in front of the church, I saw a car slow down, and the man craned his neck to see what I was doing, and then he did a Y-turn and came back, and he sheepishly got out of his car, and he walked up to me. He was an older gentleman, and he said, could I have one of those? I'm Catholic. And I said, friend, we're all on the same team. And he said, well, could I have two? I said, take as many as you want. And his lips started to quiver. He said, my wife is going to be so happy. She's been making crosses out of her palm branches since she was a little girl, and she was sad because she wasn't going to be able to do that this week, this year. But she did. Every day at noontime, we came to you through our live stream, through Facebook Live, with our noon devotions. And at the end of each of those 15 to 20 minute devotions, I sang one stanza of God Be With You Till We Meet Again. For me, that was a song of hope. We still wait for the opportunity to gather together, but we have hope. We have hope, and what a celebration, what a party that is going to be. On Thursday night, we gathered here to remember the events of the upper room, and I encouraged everyone to have just some kind of bread, maybe even a cracker, and some kind of juice or wine so that we could ask the Holy Spirit to transform them for us, that they would be for us the bread of life and the cup of blessing. And so, full disclosure, we didn't have any grape juice, and we didn't have any real bread, and so I took a hot dog bun and went to the gas station to try and get a little thing of grape juice. They had none. So yes, everything is different during this pandemic, but for Holy Thursday this year, we had communion with an old hot dog bun and a small bottle of gas station wine. But God was able to do incredible things. We know that when God gets involved through the Holy Spirit, ordinary things become extraordinary things. When God gets involved in the lives of people, ordinary people become extraordinary people of God. On Friday, the sanctuary was dark. There was the starkness of a wooden cross, and Steve Lyerly sat beneath the cross and offered up a devotion for Good Friday. We had a lot of people tune in. We had, I don't know, 20 or so young people who were all able to take part in that celebration, thanks to Elliot Hatch for putting that together and for Steve for making it happen. All those services, all those devotions still can be found on our webpage, found on our YouTube channel or our Facebook page, including last night. And if you didn't hear last night's sermon, I really hope that you'll find some time this week to go back and to listen to it as we explored what it means to be waiting in a time of pandemic. We hit it head on last night. But last night we came together and said, well, the tomb has been sealed. He's dead. That's what the chief priests wanted. That's what the Pharisees wanted. But we said, if we're going to be honest, sometimes Christians want to take a vacation from their faith. Jesus is far less dangerous if he's staying put in that tomb. As long as he stays in there, there is no divine call upon my life. As long as he is there, I don't have to see other people. They can continue to be invisible to me. I can walk right by, or if I want, I can use them as a stepping stone or ladders for my own gain. If he stays in that tomb, I am not compelled to do unto others as I would want them to do unto me. I can continue to hate my neighbors or those who are different from me. I can hoard all of my resources for myself at the expense of others. I can define greatness on my own terms. I don't need to forgive anyone for anything, and I can give in to whatever temptation I want. Whoopee! And those people who are the least, the lost, the last, the left out, the lonely, as long as Jesus is locked up there and not alive and at loose in the world, those people can just stay where they are. But friends, that's not what Easter people want, and that's not what God wants or needs from us. We don't want a vacation from our faith. No, we were waiting with hope. And I said last night that in Hebrew, the words for wait and hope can be rendered by the same word. We had hope that God is alive and forever will be. And now we know that God is alive and active in our world. Thanks be to God. So let's hear this good news as Matthew shares it in the 28th chapter of his gospel. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of God for the people of God. And if ever there was a day where we were going to say, thanks be to God, it is today. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I've been thinking about it, on this Easter Sunday, in the year 2020, we here at the United Methodist Church of Whitefish Bay can and should be thankful. Thankful, of course, first and foremost, for the good news of this day, but also thankful for our technology to worship together, albeit through a camera and our TV or a computer screen. We are thankful for the small number of people here that have been here all week, that have been here ever since this Safer at Home edict came down. We give thanks for them, for the way in which they are maintaining their safety, but the ways in which they lead us in music, technology, and community worship. I was walking into the building this morning, and there was a walker coming down the sidewalk wearing mask, and I was kind of had my head down, and the person stopped so I could go by to keep that 6 feet, and then the person said to me, "Thank you for your live streaming." And it kind of dawned on me, this is a member of our church expressing gratitude to be able to continue to worship. We are fortunate. All across our country and across the world this Easter Sunday, there are sanctuaries that are empty. Sanctuaries with no flowers, no music, no technology, no proclamation. we are reminded that even if we are not infected, we are all affected. Mary Paul sent something to me, a little link that she found on Facebook. It's a new hymn, a hymn that has been written just in the last couple of weeks called This Easter Celebration. And the text is written by a woman named Carolyn Winfrey Gillette. And it's set to the tune, The Church's One Foundation, which we know is Jesus Christ the Lord, a tune written by Samuel Sebastian Wesley in 1864. Samuel Sebastian Wesley is the great-grandson, was the great-grandson of Charles Wesley, John Wesley's brother, who wrote so many classic hymns. I want to read the stanzas of this hymn. This Easter celebration is not like ones we've known. We pray in isolation. We sing the hymns alone. We're distant from our neighbors, from worship leaders too. No flowers grace the chancel to set a festive mood. No gathered choirs are singing. No banners lead the way. O God of love and promise, where's joy this Easter day? With sanctuaries empty, may homes become the place. We ponder resurrection and celebrate your grace. Our joy won't come from worship that's in a crowded room, but from the news of the women who saw the empty tomb. Our joy comes from disciples who ran with haste to see, who heard that Christ is risen, and then by grace believed. In all the grief and suffering, may we remember well, Christ suffered crucifixion and faced the powers of hell. Each Easter bears the promise, Christ rose that glorious day. Now nothing in creation can keep your love away. And finally, we thank you that on Easter, your church is blessed to be a scattered, faithful body that's doing ministry in homes and in the places of help and healing too. We live the Easter message. We live the Easter message by gladly serving you. I have read the text of this hymn every day, at least once, since I was introduced to it. Last night, in a time of pandemic, we spoke briefly of another pandemic that the world and the church had to navigate in the year 1918, the Spanish flu. They estimate that 1/3 of the world's population was infected, that somewhere between 50 million and 100 million people worldwide died. Here at home in the United States, 1/4 of the population was infected. More than 675,000 people died. When we go back and we read the news stories from that time, they are eerily similar to today. Now, back in 1918, they didn't have the benefit of the technology that we have today that enables us to stay connected, to worship together as a community the way that we do. And yet, the proclamation, He is risen, remained. The church persevered. That light of the world that has come to us could not be extinguished. And so right here today, in the midst of a pandemic that as of 5:30 this morning, when I turned on the news, as of 5:30, more than 20,600 lives have been lost here in the United States, with 530,000 cases. Our death total here at home has now surpassed Italy's. More people have died here in the United States of America to this than anywhere else. Worldwide, more than 108,000 deaths and 1.7 million cases. And now, just about 4 hours later, we know that those totals have certainly climbed every hour more and more. And while this is our reality, just like in 1918, we, the church, we, God's people, will persevere. But in light of all this, I think we need Easter and its message now more than ever. We need it now because everyone who has ever been born will, by old age, violence, sickness, or tragedy, see their days on earth come to an end. But today, this day, Easter Sunday, we hear the good news that when our days on earth come to an end, we will be born into eternity. That is the age-old sermon of Easter, victory over death. But friends, that's not all this day has for us. Oh no, not even close. You see, Easter is more than just good news. It moves us into action. We must respond to it. As the band sang, rise up, rise up. Today we see that we must try and catch up and witness what God is doing through Christ as Christ is alive and at large in the world. No tomb could hold him. And we have a God that is still rolling stones. God's ongoing work in Christ is never comatose or captive, neither to local geographies nor to the hidden fences of human expectations. It bursts through all those. He is alive and on the move and at work in our world. Now, looking back at this text, I find humor in the craziest places. There is a smile-worthy kind of back and forth about this text. The angel comes and shows them, rolls the stone away, and the angel says, he is going ahead of you. Go and tell. So Mary run to tell the disciples. But then even before they can get to the disciples, surprise! Jesus bursts onto the scene and says, greetings. What would you do? They fell at his feet. They fall down. They worship him. And Jesus offers words of comfort and courage. Do not be afraid. But then he says, but keep moving. Go and tell my brothers to go up to Galilee, where this movement of this group of people began. Jesus is on the move. And the Easter reality of reconciliation is unfolding in ways that perhaps we can never understand. But thanks be to God that we occasionally are privileged to witness it. The two Marys were told to go and tell. And when Jesus does encounter the disciples, he tells them in Matthew's gospel, go and make disciples of every single nation, teaching them to obey, baptize them, bring them into the fellowship. I can only conclude that encountering the living, risen Christ requires a response. It demands action. You see, the truth about Easter is that it is not a passive experience. No, Easter is interactive. We can't just stand there in awe and wonder. It calls us to enter into the experience. Resurrection is not simply something that happened to Jesus, but Easter is something that happened and happens to this day to his followers, young and old, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, regardless of nationality or color. It is a sharing of new life through the Holy Spirit. As one person has penned, the resurrection experience that founded and that grounds the church is not based on the transitory encounters of a few people on Easter Day, but on the experience of power through Jesus by generations of people across the centuries and continuing to today. That's what we're a part of. Experiencing the reality and the power of the resurrected Christ. Friends, it is not a matter of reciting creeds or maintaining a pious demeanor. No, the reality and the power of the resurrected Christ is mostly a matter of walking in Jesus' footsteps. My father-in-law, who was an ordained pastor in the United Methodist Church for his entire adult life. When he was 60 years old, he decided he was going to train to run the marathon held in Madison, Wisconsin. And when Janet and I were out in Washington, D.C., I remember he was following this schedule, and he went for a run one day, and we were kind of horrified. He came back, of course, a sweaty mess, but there was blood all over the front of his shirt. No one had warned him about that kind of bleeding. But he, on advice from one who had already done a marathon, he was following a detailed training schedule. Training for a marathon, reading the daily training plan and schedule, won't prepare you to finish the race. No, you need to run. God didn't just call us to read the book, but to walk the walk. And a risen Christ certainly challenges us and empowers us to do so. My father-in-law had heard what people told him about this training plan. He was able to read the plan himself. He believed in his heart that it was the right way to go about it. But he never would have been able to run that race with perseverance unless he put that plan into practice. And so may we as well. Easter is more than just good news. Easter moves us into action. But there is a second point I would like to make. Easter moves us beyond doubt and into faith. It moves us beyond doubt and into faith. It moves us into an Easter proclamation. Now I want you to notice, faith does not automatically follow from resurrection. As one of the Gospels shares it, Mary didn't believe at first. And when Jesus was in the upper room, there was one who was missing, Thomas, and he is known now today by the name Doubting Thomas. He said, I don't believe it. And as Matthew writes his account of this resurrection, he does so because there are some who are already doubting whether or not this really took place. He is setting the record straight. Because of Easter, doubt does not separate us from God. God comes to us in our deepest need and gives us victory. Think about it. The women came expecting death, but what did they find? Life. They came experiencing sorrow, but what did they walk away with? Joy. They came defeated, but because of resurrection, they had triumph. Easter is the profound promise that Good Friday is not the end, but only a way station to resurrection. Easter is the reminder that you and I live a life that is a life of promise, because it is undergirded by the promise of our God. And all of us are going to have countless Good Friday experiences in our lives, but because of this risen Christ, they are not the end, nor does Good Friday have the last word. God has spoken definitively. Now, the world may try and convince you otherwise, but it cannot. During the early 1920s, a communist leader was sent from Moscow to Kiev to be the keynote speaker to address a crowd at an anti-God rally. An anti-God rally. I think what we're having here is a pro-God rally, right? And for an hour, he abused and he ridiculed the Christian faith until it seemed that the entire structure of belief was in ruins. He felt pretty good about himself. And then questions were invited. And an Orthodox church priest rose to speak. He first came before the panel, but then he turned his back on the panel, turned his back on him, and looked at those who were gathered and proclaimed the Easter proclamation. He said, "He is risen." And everyone there stood on their feet and said, "He is risen indeed." And so, Easter people, in the face of pessimism, in the face of a pandemic, I proclaim to you that he is alive and active in the world. As the angel has said, he has been raised to the dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen.
At the cross.
And so, friends, before our praise team sings their final song, let me just offer you this blessing. You are blessed. We are all blessed. Young and old, rich and poor, educated and uneducated. People from every walk of life, doesn't matter race or nationality. We have a risen Lord, and we are called to walk into a light that is marvelous. Happy Easter, Easter people. Amen.
I once was fatherless, a stranger with no home. Your kindness awakened me from my sleep. Back and deeply, a call to come and die. By grace now I will come, take this life, take your life.
Sin has lost its power, death has lost its sting. From the grave you've risen, victoriously. It's a marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way. Breath fills up my lungs. Now I'm free. Now I'm free.
Sin
has lost its power. Death has lost its sting. From the grave you've risen, victoriously. Into marvelous light I'm running. Out of darkness, out of shame. You are the truth, you are the light, you are the way. Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth, you are the light, you are the way.
Nice work. Good job, everybody. Happy Easter. Oh, sorry, I didn't get the memo. But glad we kept moving anyway. Yeah. Are we having communion at the next one? Okay.
Thank you. we're having a little bit of a weirdness with the view. So I'm going to get out one more music stand, and that's what we'll do for that. So Tim, if those other two B-52 tag mics aren't working, what we could do is just use the handheld wireless and the corded mic that I was using. The corded one would fit to Brady.
They're working now.
Oh, they are?
I'm just getting a little bit feedback. I got right now.
Okay, do you want us to sing one of our four-part pieces? Okay. Don't mind me, Jesus.
It's okay, you know, we all have to take up our cross sometimes.
Tim, do you want them to speak into their mics first so you can hear if they're all coming through?
I'm afraid I'm going to get this rustling. So we may want to try to, I think that's a good idea to move it out a little.
The height.
The height of Jacob and Brady's mics.
It's as tall as it'll go.
Here we go. The Allegro, half note equals 88.
Can you see the women?
Mary's gotten close.
Oh, she can't tell.
Praise the Lord, ye bright angelic choirs in full, ye sons of joy.
Themselves have really crap.
They're all going to have a good visual. Praise the Lord.
1 minute.
You know what I mean? They're not going to hear shit. Many of them. But they're all going to see your faces. Can you see their faces where I'm standing, Mary? Or do I need to stand somewhere else? Okay. Excellent. Have a seat.
Neil, is that mic always going to be on? Do I have to work?
I'm going to let David at Allegro 88, I'm going to let you start in whatever tempo you like best. So that I don't feel Allegro.
That was okay.
Okay.
I invite you to join me in our call to worship on this Easter morning. Christ is risen.
Christ has risen indeed.
God is alive.
New birth is given.
Hope is alive.
A new age is dawning.
Joy is alive.
Redemption is here.
Love is alive.
Death cannot harm us.
We are alive.
New life is within us.
The church is alive.
God's Spirit is within us.
Let us say together, God of life, we worship you. God of creation, we praise you. God of revelation, we learn from you. God of resurrection, we come to celebrate you.
Thank you.
And so, Easter people, he is risen. He is risen indeed. My name is Matt Hadley, and I'm the senior pastor here at the United Methodist Church of Whitefish Bay. And there is nothing that can stop this Easter celebration. We're doing everything that we can to make sure we're protecting the health and the well-being of our community of faith. Yes, we have a safe amount of people here, and they are socially distanced from one another, but we need to worship our God this day, and it breaks my heart that we're unable to do it with a full sanctuary, but I'm so thankful that you are at home and that you have tuned in, whether it's on your phone or your smart TV or your computer screen. Let's worship our risen God this day. And so we have an opportunity to continue worshiping through our shared prayers. And so there's a number on your screen there, and you can text your items of prayer, whether they are items of great hurt and pain, sorrow, or whether they are prayers of celebration and joy. We're going to hear them a little bit later in this worship service. We gather as a church, and we know that church is intergenerational. And I reject that phrase, children are the future of the church, because children are the church right here, right now. And we seek to faithfully minister to them. In between our services, we had our Sunday school hour on our website. But we have a flesh and blood person here who works with our children and their families, and her name is Miss Christie. And so I invite Miss Christie to come up and share some times with the kids.
Happy Easter! How are you? Did you have a great morning so far? I saw the most beautiful chalk drawings. Thank you for sharing your pictures. Keep sharing the good news. God put us first. Jesus put us first, and he is risen. So how are we going to put others first? How are we going to do our part? How are we going to share God's love and this good news? You're staying home, so you are putting others first. I'm so proud of you. Thank you for that. What else? How are you going to think of others and put them first? Talk about it with your family. I can't wait to hear what you're doing. I love you. I'll see you soon. Bye.
Thank you.
grace and
glory. Proclaim his grace and glory.
Proclaim his grace and glory. Proclaim his grace and glory.
Hallelujah.
In songs of joy, in songs of joy,
praise the Lord in songs of joy.
Amen. I hope that translated well through the live stream. What a blessing and a treat it was to receive that song of praise here in person. Well, we come now to a time of prayer, and even though we are distanced from one another, we have great solidarity in our spirit, in our faith. And so let us allow this litany to call us to a time of prayer on this Easter morning. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
And so we turn to our God in a time of silent and listening prayer. Let's allow ourselves to be still. Easter Sunday. This is the day that you have made, life-giving God. Joining with angels and archangels, and with the chorus that is rising throughout all the earth, we will rejoice and be glad this day. It is you who take our endings and you who make your new beginnings. You surprise us. You astound us in places where we expect that you were absent. You challenge us to reconsider what is possible. And so on this day of victory, Almighty God, hear the prayers of your people.
A prayer for good health for my dad, who just got released from the hospital after experiencing heart problems.
Is it on?
Check.
It's on.
I pray for good health for a dad who just got released from the hospital after experiencing heart problems. Happy Easter. Sending prayers of thankfulness for being cancer-free this Easter, and prayers to all battling cancer and all other sicknesses. Prayers for Callie, Nate, and Heather in the loss of Dave Bolliard on Thursday. A prayer to keep a daughter, Katie, safe at work as she is a nurse at the VA hospital. Please pray for Shirley Agnes, a 94-year-old mother who has been in hospice care since mid-March in Northern California. May angels surround her, and may my three sisters who are at her side remain well and healthy. Blessings to all healthcare workers everywhere. Prayers to all friends and family, near and far, especially prayers for the frontline responders. Prayer for a mother recovering from cancer. Please keep her safe in these difficult times. And for John Doherty in the hospital fighting an infection. Prayers for a nephew's first Easter, and also for remembering my grandfather at this time. Prayers for cousin Rick, that he can deal in a healthy way with his isolation. Prayers of joy, for Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. These are the prayers of our people.
Living Lord, Savior Christ, we praise you, for you are raised by the power of God, and there is a new creation, and by your grace, we are in it. We respond with a joyful Alleluia. And so, Lord, hear all these prayers, and hear us now as we offer up the prayer which Christ, the risen Christ, has taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so as we come now to a time of offering, we know that we offer ourselves, our time, our talents, but we also lift up our treasures. There is information on how you can text your offering in to us as a community of faith, but you can also just continue to write your checks and send them via the mail. We thank you so much for the ways in which you continue to support the mission and ministry that goes on, that will never be snuffed out. And so let us give joyfully to our God.
Love.
And so please pause with me as we pray a dedication upon our offerings. Almighty God, just as travelers came from a great distance to bring gifts to the newborn Christ child, so too do we bring our gifts and present them to the resurrected Christ. Bless these offerings, Almighty God, that they may be used to accomplish your holy purposes. It is in his name that we ask this. Amen. Well, what a week it has been here at the United Methodist Church of Whitefish Bay. As I was thinking about it this past week, almost felt like an entire month. It seems like forever ago that I showed up last Sunday and was scattering palm branches out in front of our front door right here on Silver Spring Drive so that members of the community could come and to take a palm, that members and friends of our own community of faith could come. For so many people, that palm branch is an important part of their Lenten experience. I told the story last week, but as I was scattering them, one of the cars that was driving west on Silver Spring slowed down and craned his neck, and I could see him do a Y-turn and pulled right up in front of the church. When he got out of the car, I could see it was an older man, and he sheepishly came up to me and said, "Could I have one of those palm branches? I'm Catholic." And I said, "Friend, we're all on the same team. Go ahead, take one." And he said, "Well," and his lip kind of, he said, "Could I have two?" I said, "Take all you need." He goes, "Well, this will make my wife so happy. You see, ever since she was a little girl, she has been making crosses out of her palm branches, and she was crestfallen that this year she wasn't going to be able to do that." And so what a privilege that was. Because of social media, I have seen that many of you who came by and picked up those branches have made various things out of them, put them in displays that had a prominent place in your homes throughout this Holy Week. Every day at noon here in the sanctuary via live stream, we had our noon devotionals, 15 to 20 minutes long. And at the end of each and every one of those devotionals, I sang a stanza from a hymn in our United Methodist hymnal called "God Be With You Till We Meet Again." It was a song of hope. I long for that day where we can meet together again. What a party, what a celebration that is going to be. Thursday night, we gathered here and we remembered the events of the upper room. We remembered the Last Supper. And I was encouraging everyone at your homes to have a piece of bread or maybe even a cracker, anything that could become that symbol, and to have some kind of juice or some kind of wine so that we could partake together. Well, we didn't have much bread at my house, and so I took what we had, and we didn't have any grape juice, and so on my way to church that day, I tried to stop at just a gas station that didn't look like anyone was in there to try and find some grape juice, but they didn't have grape juice. And so, interesting times in a pandemic. Thursday night, we celebrated a Holy Communion with an old hot dog bun and a small bottle of cheap gas station wine. But when God gets involved through the Holy Spirit, ordinary things become extraordinary things. And so too it is with you and I. When the ordinary has the Holy Spirit, the presence of the living Christ, we become extraordinary in the eyes of God. On Friday, the sanctuary was dark. Only the cross was lit, and there was one spotlight on a bare wooden cross. And Steve Lyerly sat at the foot of the cross and gave a devotion. Thanks to Elliot Hatch, who had, about 20 young people, all were able to participate as we patched it together. But Steve said, "How in the world can we call this day good?" And we explored that. All of those devotionals, all of those messages, including last night's message, are available online, our YouTube channel or Facebook page or our own website. Last night was a night of silence. And if you didn't tune in, I encourage you to go back and to listen to last night's message, where we really hit head-on hope in the midst of a pandemic, life when everything is seemingly dead. But that's where Jesus was last night, sealed into a stone tomb. That's where the Pharisees and the chief priests wanted him. But for Christians who want to take a vacation from their faith, maybe if they were honest, that's where they want Jesus to be. As long as he stays in there, there's no divine call upon my life. As long as he is sealed up in a tomb, I don't have to see other people. They can remain invisible to me. I can walk right by not seeing their need. Or if I do see them, I have permission, if there's no divine call on my life, to use them as stepping stones for my own profit. If he is in that tomb, I'm not compelled to do unto others as I would want them to do unto me. I can continue to hate my neighbors or those, maybe especially those who are different than me. If there is no resurrected Christ, if there is a dead Jesus, I can hoard my resources at the expense of others. I can define greatness by my own terms and declare myself great. I don't need to forgive those who trespass against me. The least, the last, the lost, the lonely, the left out, they can stay that way. And what's more, I can give in to whatever temptation I like. But friends, that's not what Easter people want, and that is not what God wants or what God needs from us. Easter people don't want to take a vacation from our faith. And so throughout this time, we were waiting with hope. Wait with hope. And maybe that resonates with a lot of you right now. We know that in Hebrew, the word for wait and hope is rendered by the same word. Hope that God is and forever will be alive and active in the world. And today's message is, oh yeah. Let's hear the good news from the 28th chapter of Matthew as the New Revised Standard Version reads it. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. As he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him." This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and with great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of God for the people of God. And if there's ever a day in which we're going to say thanks be to God, this is the day. Thanks be to God that our God is still a God that rolls the tomb, rolls the stone away. Now, on this Easter Sunday, we here at the United Methodist Church of Whitefish Bay can and should be thankful. Thankful, of course, for the good news of this day, but also thankful for our technology so that we can continue to worship together, albeit through a camera or a TV or a computer screen. We are thankful for the small number of people here socially distancing themselves appropriately, who are able to lead us in music, in technology, to lead us as a community in worship. I was coming into church this morning before the 9 o'clock service, and I could see there was a person walking down the sidewalk. They had their face covered, and I didn't really pay much attention to who it was, caught by my own busyness. And the woman stopped so that I could pass, then we'd still be 6 feet apart. And then she said, thank you for live streaming. And I realized it was one of the members of this community of faith, and filled with such gratitude to continue to be able to worship. Yes, we here at the United Methodist Church of Whitefish Bay are fortunate. All across the country and across the world this Easter Sunday, there are sanctuaries that are empty. No flowers, no music, no technology, no proclamation of good news. As we have been saying, even if we are not infected, we are all of us affected. Mary Paul gave me something that she's found on Facebook or some other social media site. It's a brand new hymn, a hymn that was written just a couple of weeks ago that really speaks to what Easter is like in the year 2020. The lyrics were written by a woman named Carolyn Winfrey Gillette, and it's set to the tune of The Church's One Foundation, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. That tune was written by Samuel Sebastian Wesley in 1864. He was the great-grandson of Charles Wesley, who was the brother of John Wesley. So many of Charles Wesley's hymns are near and dear to our hearts. But each and every day since this has come into my life, I have been reading it in preparation for today. And so I'd like to share with you the stanzas from this brand new hymn. This Easter celebration is not like ones we've known. We pray in isolation. We sing the hymns alone. We're distant from our neighbors, from worship leaders too. No flowers grace the chancel to set a festive mood. No gathered choirs are singing, no banners lead the way. O God of love and promise, where's joy this Easter day? With sanctuaries empty, may homes become the place we ponder resurrection and celebrate your grace. Our joy won't come from worship that's in a crowded room, but from the news of the women who saw the empty tomb. Our joy comes from the disciples who ran with haste to see, who heard that Christ is risen and then by grace believed. In all the grief and suffering, may we remember well, Christ suffered crucifixion and faced the powers of hell. Each Easter bears the promise, Christ rose that glorious day. Now nothing in creation can keep your love away. We thank you that on Easter your church is blessed to be a scattered, faithful body that's doing ministry. In homes and in places of help and healing too, we live the Easter message by gladly serving you. I love that last line. We live the Easter message by gladly serving you. Well, at our gathering last night, we spoke about another pandemic that the world and the church had to navigate. Back in 1918, the Spanish flu, 1/3 of the world's population infected. Somewhere between 50 million and 100 million worldwide died. Here at home in the United States, 1/4 of our population was infected, and more than 675,000 people lost their lives. As we go back and we read the news reports, we read the articles, we read the commentaries from 1918, they are eerily similar to what we're experiencing today. Now, back in 1918, they did not have the benefit of technology that we have today to stay connected, to worship together as a community of faith in the ways in which we do. But the people of faith persevered. The church persevered. And so today, in the midst of a pandemic, that as of 5:30 this morning, when I turned on the news, more than 20,600 lives have been lost here in the United States, with 530,000 cases. Our death total, as of today, has surpassed Italy's. More life lost in our country than any other. Worldwide, there are more than 108,000 deaths coming from 1.7 million documented cases. And now, just 5 or so hours later, those totals have certainly climbed. But friends, we too will persevere. The news that we have this day cannot be snuffed out. We need Easter and its message now more than ever. Everyone who has ever been born will, by old age, by violence, by sickness, or by tragedy, see their days on earth come to an end. But the message today, the good news we have today, is that when our days on earth come to an end, we will be born into eternity. I mean, after all, that is the age-old sermon of Easter, victory over death. But friends, that's not all this day has for us. Oh no, not even close. This day, this good news, this message has more to say to us. You see, the first thing I think this day really says to us is that Easter is more than just good news. Easter moves us into action. God's people need to rise up as God continues to roll the stones of our tombs away. God's ongoing work in Christ is never comatose or captive, neither to local geographies nor to the hidden fences of human expectations. Today, we see that we must try to catch up and to witness what God is doing in Christ, alive and active in our world. Alive, on the move. Now, looking back at this text, and I find humor in the craziest things, but there's a smile-worthy back and forth in this gospel story. You see, the women came to the tomb not knowing what to expect, and they encountered this angel. The presence of this angel is so frightening that the guards just kind of wilt. They just fall to the ground. They faint. But Mary and Martha encounter this angel, and the angel says, "Run, go tell the disciples to meet me back up in Galilee where this small group was initially formed." And so the women go on their way, but all of a sudden, surprise! Suddenly there is Jesus saying, "Greetings." They don't know what to do but to fall prostrate. They bow before his feet. And Jesus offers them words of courage and comfort. "Do not be afraid. Come now, let's keep moving. Go and tell my brothers to go." Jesus is on the move, and the Easter reality of reconciliation is unfolding in ways that we maybe can't understand, but we are occasionally privileged to witness. The two Marys were told to go and tell. As Matthew's gospel tells it, when the disciples finally encounter Jesus in the Galilee region, he tells them to go and make disciples of every nation, baptize them, teach them to obey. Encountering the living, risen Christ requires a response. Encountering the living, risen Christ requires a response. It requires action. The truth about Easter is that Easter is not a passive experience. Easter is and must always be interactive. We cannot just stand here in awe and wonder. Easter calls us to enter in to that experience. You see, resurrection is not something that simply happened to Jesus, but Easter is something that happened and continues to happen to his followers, young and old, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, regardless of nationality or color. It is a sharing of new life through the Holy Spirit. As one has beautifully written, "The resurrection experience that founded and that grounds the church is not based on transitory encounters of a few people on Easter Day. No, but on the experience of power through Jesus by generations of people across the centuries continuing into this day. Experiencing the reality and the power of the resurrected Christ is not a matter of reciting creeds or walking around and maintaining a pious demeanor. No, above all else, it is mostly a matter of walking in Jesus' footsteps. Easter calls us to action. We need to move beyond the account, beyond the story. My father-in-law was a very gifted preacher. He was a United Methodist pastor his entire adult life. And when he turned 60, he made a decision that he was going to train, and he was going to run the marathon that is held in Madison. And so he began his training, and we were living in Washington, D.C., and he came during one of the days where his schedule said he had to have a long run, and we were kind of horrified when he came back into the house, and the front of his shirt was all bloody. No one had warned him about the effects of rubbing in a wet shirt. Training for a marathon. He had, on the advice from one who had done it, received a very detailed training schedule, laying out every day for the period of weeks leading up to this marathon. Now, training for a marathon, reading the daily training plan and schedule, won't prepare you to finish the race. No, you need to run. God doesn't just call us to read the book to hear the stories, but God calls us to walk the walk. My father-in-law heard what people told him. He could read the plan himself. Deep down, he really believed it was the right way to go about it. But he would have never been able to run that race with perseverance unless he put it into practice each and every day, step by step. Easter is more than just good news. It moves us into action. But there's one more thing about this day. Easter moves us beyond doubt into faith. It moves us beyond doubt into faith, and it moves us to an Easter proclamation. Now, I want you to notice, faith doesn't automatically come from resurrection. As one gospel shares it, Mary Magdalene didn't believe at first. And we also know that after Jesus appeared to the disciples in an upper room, one of them was missing, and his name was Thomas. And what do we call Thomas now? Doubting Thomas. Matthew writes his account of the crucifixion and the resurrection because some people are already beginning to doubt. He is setting the record straight. Because of Easter, doubt does not separate us from God. God comes to us in our deepest need and gives us the victory. The women came to the tomb that day expecting death. They found life. They came experiencing sorrow. They found joy. They came defeated and left with triumph. Easter is the profound promise that Good Friday is not the end. No, Good Friday does not have the last word. It is a way station to resurrection. Easter is the reminder that you and I live a life of promise because it is undergirded with the promise of God. Our Good Fridays are not the end, nor will those Good Friday experiences in our life have the last word. God has spoken definitively. Now, the world may try and convince you otherwise, but with faith, it cannot. During the 1920s, a communist leader was asked to travel from Moscow to Kiev to be the keynote speaker to address an anti-God rally. And for more than an hour, he ridiculed the Christian faith until it seemed that the entire structure of belief was in ruins. He felt pretty good about himself. And then they opened it up to allow people to ask some questions. And an elderly Orthodox priest stood and walked before the dais. And instead of looking at the panel and the speaker, the priest turned around and faced the assembly, and he greeted them with an Easter greeting. He is risen. And instantly, at that anti-God rally, everyone stood up and said, "He is risen indeed." And so, Easter people, in the face of pessimism, in the face of a pandemic, I proclaim to you that he is alive and active in the world. As the angel has said, he has been raised from the dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen.